Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. You may be seated tonight. I've been preaching from this prayer of Nehemiah on broken in the presence of God. How that Nehemiah came to God in verse 4, and he wept and mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He approaches God and recognizes who he's talking to. He recognizes the God that he is approaching in prayer. And so in his recognition of God, he reveals the heartbeat and the ideas that he had in his mind about what kind of God that he approaches in verse number 5. And then he confesses his sin. And we dealt with that last week, how that in that time of confession, Nehemiah not only dealt with the nation's sin, but he also dealt with his own sin. And then now in this passage of Scripture, he gets to the place now where he's ready to ask God about some things and to speak to God on behalf of himself and the cause of Israel as a nation. And so we learn a lot of things from his prayer. In fact, I believe that a godly man is known by his prayer life. What you are in the prayer closet is what you are and nothing more. If you are backwards about praying, it's because your relationship with God is probably backwards as well. But tonight, I see Nehemiah in his petition to God. In the truest sense, he's coming to God, he's asking, he's seeking, and he is knocking. And we're about to find out that God is going to give a wonderful answer to his prayer. He petitions the God of heaven. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven. And the God of heaven is about to open up heaven on Nehemiah's behalf and touch the heart of this Persian emperor and this Persian ruler and give him all the things that he needs to accomplish the task materially, the permissions, the letters, and all that he needs, as well as favor in the sight of that ungodly or that lost king. And so Nehemiah petitions the God of heaven. He petitions the great God that he talks about in this particular passage of Scripture in verse number 5. The great God tonight is the God that I represent. I remember hearing Brother Lester Roloff say years ago, he said, I represent the Department of Divine Resources. Hallelujah. God tonight has allowed us to represent him, and he is the great God who can do great things. He's a good God. And so the heart of Nehemiah's prayer is here recorded. And there's something about this prayer. He didn't just pray this prayer. Sometimes people say a prayer. That's what Catholic people do. They say prayers. They recite prayers. And there are a lot of people that read prayers out of a book. Now I want to say to you tonight, I don't just say prayers. I want to come to God and seek him and talk to him on a personal level because he's my father and I am his child. I can go to him tonight. And so these things are instructive to us as we come to God. Nehemiah kept coming to God for 4 months. He kept coming day and night, the Bible said. He made his prayer. He prayed continually certain days. Chapter 1, verse number 4. And we know from the timeline, it was at least 120 days. And so when we get to this section of the Bible where Nehemiah is offering up his petition to God, there's three things that he does that that make a wonderful lesson tonight on how you and I should approach God in prayer. The first thing he does is he says to God, now God, I want you to remember the promises that you have made. I want you to remember the promises that you have made. He said in verse 8, remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I've chosen to set my name there. And so Nehemiah, all through this prayer, by the way, he evidences a knowledge of the Old Testament scripture. He evidences the fact that he's not only talking to God, but that God has been talking to him out of the Word of God. You know, one thing that'll help your prayer life is for you to be consistently in your Bible. Not just when you have to teach Sunday school, or not just when you have to give a testimony at church, but to be consistent day by day going to God's Word. And Nehemiah emphasizes, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou has caused me to hope. And what is Nehemiah doing? He's going back to claim the promise of God and recite to God the promise that God had made to Israel. God has made some promises to his people. And so Nehemiah goes back and he recalls that promise. And he says, God, this is what you promised. Just like you said, let me say this to you tonight. When you come to God, you'll have some promises to stand on. As a Christian tonight, did you know that many times I come to God and I give God the prayer promises that he's given me in the Bible, or some promise of provision, or some promise of power? You say, preacher, how do you know all that? Get into your Bible and find out what God said about promises to you and I as his people tonight. And so there's two aspects to the promise that Nehemiah begins to claim. Number one, there's a promise for Israel's rebellion. Now, God promised to deal with them if they rebelled against God. Let me say this, your rebellion against God is not your rebellion against one individual. Oh no, it's something far greater than that. Your little rebellion against the church is not your rebellion against the church itself. Your rebellion and breaking the commands of God are rebellion against a holy and a righteous God. God had promised to scatter his people if they were disobedient and rebellious against him. Look in your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 4 tonight, the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll see what Nehemiah is referring to. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tonight and verse 25. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 25. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, and ye shall utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it, and ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whereto the Lord shall lead you. And so God promised them that if they rebelled against him, that he would deal with them and demonstrate that their rebellion brought certain consequences to their life. You see, God loves his people too much to allow them to get by with sin. You say, preacher, I'm sinning and God's not doing anything to me. Well, you might want to consider you never have belonged to him. I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, Hebrews chapter 12, in this New Testament era, God has promised to deal with all of those that he loves by rebuking and chastening and dealing with them. And in Revelation 3:19, God said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so in scattering them and taking them into captivity, God was keeping his promise. And when Nehemiah comes to God, he said, God, I know you promised this. And he's already confessed his sin. And so he knows that Israel has gotten what they deserve. In fact, they probably got less than what they deserve. A lot of us here tonight have gotten less than what we actually deserve before the Lord. But tonight, not only was there a promise for their rebellion, there was also a promise for their repentance in verse number 9. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, God promised that he would gather them. He said, will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. And so God said, now, if in that rebellion you realize that you need to turn back to me, that God said when they repented and turned back to him, that he would take them and gather them up and place them back into the land. Now get your Bible and look in Deuteronomy, because this is the passage in chapter 30 that Nehemiah is praying about. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 2 tonight. The Bible said, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost part of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And so God said, listen, Israel, he said, if you'll turn unto me, he said, I'll gather you from thence, just like Nehemiah said. And so when God in his mercy saw them turning unto him, boy, isn't it wonderful tonight that God doesn't mark us off, and God doesn't just say, well, I gave you a command, I gave you a promise, I gave you a plan. It was unmistakable. It was unfailing. But you didn't keep my word, and you didn't follow my plan. But now you're turning unto me. Thank God. Aren't you glad? And he's that kind of God tonight, that he, in mercy, he saw them turning to him and granted them the blessing of returning to the land of promise. And so thank God tonight that God, through Nehemiah in this prayer, and Nehemiah said, God, I want you to remember your promise. Hallelujah. And when we come to God, you ought to claim his promise. You ought to be claiming his promises in prayer. And then Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 10. Not only did Nehemiah said, God, remember your promise. But then secondly tonight, Nehemiah said, God, remember your people. Remember your people. Now, I guess a lot of us have felt like at times that because of the timing of the circumstances of our life, that God has forgotten us. Sometimes when wicked and rebellious people seem to be having their way at the moment, and those that are righteous and faithful seem to be suffering at the time, and you say, well, Lord, I could think about 4 or 5 people that probably need to get cancer. Maybe you don't think like that, but I do. I could think about 4 or 5 folks that have been so unfaithful to God, they ought to have cancer. That maybe that would turn them back to the Lord. But I'm not God tonight. But God said, Nehemiah here, Nehemiah said, God, I want to remember your people. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. In the process of this prayer, Nehemiah is beseeching God. In verse 8, he said, remember, I beseech thee. In verse 11, he said, oh Lord, I beseech thee. And he beseeches God about the promises of God. And he beseeches God about the people of God. He said, God, these are not just any people. These are thy people. Hallelujah. And I'm glad tonight I'm able to say I'm one of his. Hallelujah. And Nehemiah says it in this sense. He said, God, he said, these people have been bought by thee. Amen. These people have been bought by thee. Did you know tonight, if you are saved, you are not your own. Oh, you say, I do whatever I want to do. I know a lot of heathens do that. They do exactly what they want to do, and nothing ever happens to them. But if you're God's child tonight, he's going to deal with your heart and your life. But God said through Nehemiah's prayer here that these were bought by him. They are called thy servants. And then he calls them those whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. And so these are those people who have been bought by God. Israel was God's redeemed people. God had gone down in the land of Egypt and given Moses a message about the Passover lamb. And they were to take that lamb and slay that lamb and drain that blood and do certain other things and apply that blood to the lintel and to the doorpost. And they were to feast on that lamb that night, because on that night God would deliver over a million Jews out of the land of Egypt by blood and by power. They had been bought out of Egypt and brought out of Egypt. These were God's redeemed people tonight. Aren't you glad tonight you can say, you say, preacher, are you one of God's redeemed people? Oh, yes, I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been brought out of the world and brought out of sin and brought out of condemnation. I belong tonight to Him. And the Bible said in Deuteronomy 26:8, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. Thank God they had a redeemed relationship with God because they have been bought by Him tonight. Hallelujah. God said through Nehemiah here, Lord, these people were bought by Thee. They were bought by Thee. Not only that, He said, Lord, these people, as well as myself, are sought by Thee. Now, Nehemiah is seeking God in prayer. And the Bible says here in verse number 10 and 11, let's read verse 11. O Lord, I beseech Thee, let now Thine ear be attentive to the prayer of Thy servant and to the prayer of Thy servants who desire to fear Thy name and prosper, I pray Thee. He said, not only the prayer of Thy servant, but also the prayer of Thy servants. Obviously, Nehemiah had some knowledge of some others that were praying and seeking God. They were His by covenant, and they were His by choice. They were His servants. They were God's servants, but they were coming, thank God, to see the face of God on Israel's behalf. They were praying. I said they were praying for God to do something on Israel's behalf. Hallelujah. I remember back when we had the discipleship class just recently, I handed out a little card to get people thinking about their prayer life. And it just had just a handful of questions on it. One of the questions was this: how many people in the church do you pray for every day of your life? How many people in Unity Baptist Church do you pray for every day of your life? I didn't ask them to give me the card back. I didn't want to know that answer. I wanted them to answer that before God. Then I said, on a ratio, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many prayers you pray? And the answers were saying, would it be 1 out of 5? Would it be 2 out of 10? Would it be 3 out of 5? Or would it be 6 out of 10? How many answers to the prayers that you pray are you getting an answer to prayer? You see, we come to God not just to take up time and not just to exercise ourselves spiritually, even though it is a spiritual exercise, but we come to God so we can ask and receive and seek and find and knock and see the door of heaven open up. And God said in Nehemiah's prayer, God, these are Thy servants and they're seeking You. Amen. Why do we come to pray? We come to pray because there's things you can't do and I can't do. Why do we have prayer meetings? Why do we meet early on Sunday morning? We meet to pray for our Sunday school teachers and for the singers and the preacher of the Word of God. We come to prepare our hearts for the service and to seek God's face on behalf of God's power for our church. Why is the church so bankrupt sometimes? Why are we so dead in our services? Why? I'll tell you why. It's because we are prayerless on Monday and prayerless on Tuesday and prayerless on Wednesday. And we come in the house of the Lord and act like, oh, it's prayer meeting night. Well, what happened on Monday and what happened on Tuesday and what happened on Wednesday has a reflection in our lives. God said through Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, God, I'm seeking You and Your servants are seeking You. And Lord, I want You to remember Your people. Hallelujah. God will not forget the cry of His children. Boy, I want to tell you this. You may not think you can pray like somebody else, but if you call on God and you get in touch with God, it will make a difference in your life and the life of someone else. Remember not only God tonight, God, would you remember Your promises? Lord, would you remember Your people? God, would you really listen and remember this prayer? Remember this prayer. The Bible said in verse 11, oh Lord, I beseech Thee, let now Thine ear be attentive to the prayer of Thy servant and to the prayer of Thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Now he said, Lord, I need you to be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. And the Bible tells us here in Nehemiah chapter number 1 that he'd asked God to be attentive to him and to listen to what he had to say. Have you ever tried talking to somebody who wasn't listening? They might have been looking straight at you, but they wasn't listening to the thing you had to say. Honestly, before the Lord, many times we come to God with sin in our life and he's not listening. Listen, if you're disobeying the commands of God, you don't have an issue with somebody else. You've got an issue with God. Your real issue is you've got a problem in your heart. Nehemiah began praying, and he continues to pray. In fact, all through this book of the Bible, he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And the word that many theologians use and preachers use is Nehemiah came with importunity. And it means that he came urgently and pressingly. And he came again and again and again and again and again. And he kept on coming to God. And he kept on saying to God, Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. He said, God, I need you to look and I need you to listen right now. If we want God to listen to us, then we're going to have to do some listening to God. If we disregard the word of God, God won't listen to us. The Bible said, he that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now, Nehemiah said, God, would you look down and would you listen in while we pray? Would you be attentive? And what is he saying? He's saying, God, we really have a desperate need and we know that you're the only one that can meet it. I'm wondering sometimes in my own life if God does not send trouble to us because we don't take the everyday responsibility seriously to gather and to get with God and to seek Him in prayer. And He knows that the only times we get serious about praying and seeking His face is when there's trouble on the horizon. But oh, I want to tell you something tonight. The conscious desire to know that God is looking and listening is the desire of a person that knows that the only person that can help them is God. The Bible said in Psalm 130 verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 6 verse 40, let thine eyes be open and let thine ears be attentive. Did you know the Bible said in 1 Peter 3:12 that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Now here's the thing. When we get down before God or when we go to God in prayer, we want God to look and we want God to listen. But when God speaks to you out of his word, he wants you to look and he wants you to listen. A lot of times the real problem is we've not been looking to God and listening to God. And when we come to God in prayer, he's not looking and he's not listening. But tonight, it is a wonderful comfort to know that when you go to God in prayer and everything's all right between you and him, that God not only looks in to the very place you pray, but that he listens to what you have to say. Boy, there have been many a time I've come to God. And I'm sure I didn't feel, I guess, the sense of his presence, but I prayed on anyhow. There's been enough times when I've come to God and I've sensed the reality of his presence. Then know that it seemed like there have been some times when I wouldn't open my eyes while I was praying. I'm telling you, it was so real that God was so there in my presence and I in his presence that I continued to pray and seek him, knowing that he was right there with me in my season of prayer. Hallelujah. Nehemiah said this. He said, God, he said, I want you to remember your promises. Boy, there have been many times I've come to God and I said, now, Lord, I said, I'm your child and this is your promise and I'm claiming it. I need to put my finger on this and put my feet on this promise and take it by faith. Hallelujah. God, would you not only remember your promises, would you also remember us, your people? Hallelujah. God, would you listen and just remember this prayer that we're praying? And it wasn't all that long before God gave an amazing answer. Now, let me tell you what happens when God starts answering prayer. You read chapter 2, chapter 3 and chapter 4, as soon as God starts answering prayer, the devil steps on the scene. Don't you get in your mind, well, if I'm right with God and if the Lord's moving in my life, I won't have no trouble. You get that out of your mind. As soon as God sets the wheels in motion to answer these prayers from Nehemiah and the people of God, the devil rears his old ugly head up and he wants to do everything he can to stop Nehemiah from doing the work that God has called him to do. Let that be a lesson to us tonight. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed.